You are tuning in to the Walk in Faith podcast. I'm Yvonne Rivera Newberry, guide and friend for new believers to discuss relevant topics to their newfound faith and deeply root their new identity in Christ. Hello, friends. Welcome. Last time I shared a little bit about the purpose of this podcast, and my husband and I, when we served in ministry, we saw a lot of folks who, after learning about who Jesus was and why he walked this earth, they would decide to become followers of Christ and accept his eternal gift of salvation. And those folks would be on fire for the Lord and be super excited to get involved. The ministry that we initially started in was an 8-week course. And sometimes after that eight-week course was done, sometimes we saw those folks continue on to be, you know, a part of the church, become a member of the church, get more involved, volunteer. Others we saw fade away. Sometimes they would return for a little bit, but they just maybe would come less frequently and would just fade away. And this is honestly the burden that I feel is in helping to reach these folks. I feel like there's this a little bit of a gap in churches, and there's a myriad of ways in which churches try to bridge that gap with varying degrees of success. And that's really in the follow-up. Once people make a decision, what is done to mentor and to walk alongside that new believer? And essentially what I'm talking about is discipleship. And that is the piece that I feel like is just, I don't want to say missing altogether, because I think you'll see some parts of that, but that's the part that I feel like is not as fully bridged as maybe it could be in different churches. And so why is that important? Why is discipleship so, so crucial? Is it going to prevent everybody from falling away? No, it won't. You're still going to have people who will still just fade away and they won't return. But some of those, I think, are preventable. And this is not a pointing the finger or anything, but this is just to say the importance of discipleship and what are those topics or those different things that need to be covered so that folks really understand that, okay, you took this first step. What does it mean for the rest of your life? And that's the part that I think is often not really talked about. I don't know. It seems to be missed. there should be some changes in your life. And those changes should be evident. Now, some may be immediate and some may be a little bit later, but there should definitely be some changes. And there should definitely be some habits that are cultivated to help you grow in your walk with the Lord, in your relationship with God. I've heard you gotta read the Bible. You have to pray. You have to read the Bible every day. How do you do that? How do you start doing that if you've never, ever done that? What does that even look like? And for some people, I feel like if you went to church as a little kid and are coming back, you may have some kind of foundation or some examples, even memories that you have of other people who may have modeled what that can look like. But for folks who did not go to church, like myself, I didn't grow up going to church. I didn't know what that really looked like. When they said, read your Bible every day, where do you start? How do you pick one? How much? Are we talking, a verse? Are we talking a whole book? What are we doing? And what am I reading? It can be very intimidating. And let me just say, I'm somebody who I enjoy reading. Reading was not something that was intimidating to me. My first degree was in philosophy. Reading was not intimidating. Opening up the Bible was, as a new believer. And so I would like to talk a little bit about maybe how to pick one. You know, how do you look up a verse? Take nothing for granted, but why? Also the whys behind the importance of reading your Bible, and how when reading your Bible is coupled with praying. And that's another big one. Jason and I found over and over people struggled with prayer. Even people who had said they were Christians for a very long time would struggle to pray. And I remember being a little bit confused by that, because I'm thinking, if you've been a Christian for a lot longer than I have and you're struggling with prayer, then how am I ever going to get this? There's not like this one succinct place where you can say, okay, this is maybe where to start, baby steps. And so how to pray, what to say, what does that look like? Do I have to do that for 30 seconds, you know, 25 minutes? When do I do that? What posture do I take? Do I have to be kneeling on the ground with my hands folded, my head bowed and my eyes closed, you know, or can I be looking at the sky or watching a sunrise? Could I be having a cup of coffee in the morning while I pray? I'm going to say you can do all of those things. Prayer is not something that is restricted to a very specific physical posture. I will say that as you go along in your walk with the Lord, you are going to feel compelled sometimes to get on your knees, because of the inner posture that you feel. You're submitting yourself to God. And when you have that internal posture, sometimes it will express itself in an external posture. But is that necessary to pray? Absolutely not. You can pray while you're doing dishes or while you're driving or, you know, whenever you can pray, but you need to pray. And that very intentional prayer. And so discipleship, you know, would ideally cover not just these topics, what it is and, you know, why it's important, but also give some practical tips on how to do it and how to implement what it can look like. I will say that reading your Bible can give examples of what prayer can look like. It gives you some models. There are some folks in there that are great examples of people who sought the Lord and prayed faithfully every day. So the power of prayer and the power of reading your Bible and cultivating that habit on a daily basis is something that is so imperative to your Christian walk that I cannot underscore that enough. I cannot express the importance. And I have to say, for those who skip that, I'm just going to say it's difficult to grow. Is it impossible? No, because there's parts of the world where you cannot own a Bible. It's illegal to own a Bible. We are so incredibly blessed to live in a country that not only allows us to have a copy, we can have as many copies as we want, and we can talk about the Bible. There's really no excuse to not have one and not get into it. So all I can say is reading the Bible is huge, and discipleship initially is cultivating that habit of getting into it. What does it mean? And it's translations, right? Because English was not the first language of biblical times. So understanding the translations and what it meant for the folks that it was written to, what it meant originally, what did the author mean when they wrote that? And then understanding that in the context of when it was written, why it was written. And then what are some of those eternal truths then how do you apply what was written to your own life? And so that is huge. And doing that means that you're taking steps, very intentional steps in your Christian walk. And I say that because Christianity is not a casual affair. It is not a casual thing. If you treat it casually, you will very easily slip, fall away, and fall back into the life that you've always lived. And well-intentioned people, this happens to them all the time. And so this is the importance of discipleship. It is the importance of mentorship. This is the importance also of fellowship with other mature believers, other mature Christians. And I say mature because you need to be flanked and in the company of other godly people who can pour into you, who can act like guardrails, and who can be a resource for questions that you may have as you read the Bible and as you pray, as things come up and you're uncertain on how to respond or what something means. It's important to have a group of mature Christians that you can turn to for this. It's just critical. But yeah, intentional Christianity, Christianity is intentional, honestly. I would argue that if you treat your faith casually, then I would question if that was, you know, real Christianity, because nothing about Christianity is casual. And if you read the scriptures, it's very clear. It is not the easy walk. It is the narrow path. It's intentional. So that's something that I'm hoping to dive into and break down bit by bit. I also would like to at some point touch upon, not get too deep into, but touch upon spiritual warfare. That's a topic that I find is often not even really discussed. And I understand, I think now for new believers, why maybe it's not something to start with. But I do think there is a disservice when there's not a basic explanation of, we live in this physical world. You know, I have this physical skin suit that I can observe, you know, with my eyes and whatever, my senses. But there's also a spiritual realm, and that also is very much real, though I can't see it. And there are spiritual beings, and there are good spiritual beings, and there are evil spiritual beings. And the importance of understanding that the battles that go on in those spiritual realms manifest themselves in our physical realm. And we see that in the world, in our neighborhood. I think we do a disservice if we don't talk about that at a very basic level with new believers, so that there's an understanding that that's what's happening. It can be a little bit of a mind pretzel to try and wrap your brain around just that reality, but that's the truth. And there needs to be an understanding of that. And I think the importance of that is, as you go through some struggles and some things, you're going to need to know how to respond to that. But you're also going to need to understand what it is. And sometimes it's spiritual attack and it's spiritual warfare. And so to not introduce it until it happens is, I think, a disservice. So I'd like to touch upon that, even if very lightly. I had another dear friend who said it can be a little weird sometimes talking about that. It can, but it's necessary. So, and then the importance of joining a small group, having a small group that you meet with on a regular basis, again, alongside fellowship. It's ideal if you have someone who's a more mature Christian in that group, but just a small group for accountability, to get into God's word, to get into a study. And really, there's a social aspect to it. Yes, you can do social things and experience just everyday life together. Jason and I, we led a couples ministry, and part of that was celebrating births, celebrating baptisms, celebrating graduations, celebrating just a variety of things, just the everyday life things that occur in a family, and praying and crying, you know, when there are losses and tragedies. But the point of our small group was Bible study, and we made that very clear. It was to get into God's word. It was to understand it better and to learn how we could apply those things to our lives. And so it's important to be a part of a small group. But all that to say, discipleship, it can cover a lot of different things. These are the topics I'm hoping to cover. The first one is really going to be on Bible Maybe we'll take a jaunt to the bookstore and see what's available. What's available? It can be overwhelming. If you've never shopped for a Bible, you're in for a treat. But it can be overwhelming. Sometimes choices are good, but too many choices is not so good because it can be just too much and you're not sure where to start. So we might look into that. But I'd love to hear from you. Where are you at in your walk? What Bible do you have? Was it gifted to you? Was it one that you went and shopped for yourself? I'd love to hear from you. So until next time, God bless.